This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Pets Allowed, Joy's very own show about pets, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home. Thanks to the Checkpoint team for keeping us updated on all the goings-on in the gaming world. I'm Emmanuel, and I'll be keeping you company until 5pm today, but I'm not alone. Joining me in the studio from the Lost Dogs Home is Kate Holter, General Manager of Fundraising and Communications. Welcome back, Kate.
Thanks, Emmanuel. It's good to be back. Good to be in the studio with you. This is the first time I think we've worked together, pretty much, as the two of us.
I think so.
Yeah. I'd like to say it's been a big week for me. One of my fosters went home with her new family yesterday.
So that's great.
So that was pretty amazing.
How's it going in the new home?
Well, I'm waiting to hear. We've swapped email addresses, so hopefully I'll have a photo and an update soon. But she's been in foster care with me and then behaviour rehabilitation at the home. So I think she's been a work in progress since October last year. So it's
a long time.
Yeah, it is a long time. But wow. Yeah.
And you've been fostering for a long time, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Taking a lot of animals. A
couple of years. I think she was my seventh dog.
So there's
lots of things happening at the home, but there's also lots of things happening in April that we want to talk about on today's show. So this edition of Pets Allowed is very much a bit of a mixed bag, which is always fun. First and foremost, this Monday, of course, is Anzac Day, a national day of remembrance to commemorate the Australians and New Zealanders who served and died in all wars, conflicts and peacekeeping operations. Often when we talk about war, conversation is centred on the human experience. Many different types of animals, though, have also been involved in war, and they play a variety of vital roles. Today we're going to take a closer look at the involvement of animals in war.
Most animals that went off to war unfortunately never returned because they either perished or were not able to return to Australia due to quarantine restrictions. We are, of course, by no means glorifying this, but we want to take a closer look at why these animals are involved in war. And it's also important to acknowledge the contribution animals made, along with the human sacrifice that has been made. Dogs have served in the military for a very long time, and they are still used in the military today. They've been used to detect explosives, aid in tracking and search and rescue operations. With their loving and loyal nature, dogs also provide companionship to soldiers.
And also, horses have played a very big role in war. Of course, there's the Light Brigade on horseback, but they've also been pack animals used in war to carry food, ammunition and other supplies. They're also used for transportation of soldiers and a whole lot of other things, along with mules and camels.
Pigeons were also used in wartime at times, presumably not so much these days.
No. Originally,
they were used. They were trained to carry messages, which is obviously a very important part of warfare, unfortunately. So that's what they were used for. Some pigeons were even awarded medals.
So coming up, you'll hear a lot more about the roles that animals have played in war and the impact that this has had on them and us humans as well. We're going to flash back to April 2015 when Pets Allowed presenters Kevin and Oz caught up with Nigel Allsop from the Australian War Animal Memorial Organisation.
Also coming up on this week's edition of Pets Allowed, April is Adopted Greyhound Month. You'll hear from Joyster and greyhound lover Hamish about why these gentle giants make wonderful pets.
And there's only 1 week left of the Lost Dogs Home's 2016 Adopt-a-thon. With so many cats and kittens in need of a second chance, we'll give you some easy suggestions on how you can make a difference.
All that, plus our news wrap, Pets of the Week and Dog Dates, coming up on today's show.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Now, item number one on today's news wrap is our Adopt-a-thon update. The Lost Dogs Home's Adopt-a-thon kicked off on April the 1st. That's no joke, it really did. Since then, an incredible 234 cats and kittens have been adopted, which is a fantastic effort. We'd like to say a big thank you to the wonderful families who've opened their homes and their hearts to our cats in need. We hope others will follow in your footsteps and help us reach a goal, which is very close now, of 250 cat and kitten adoptions by the end of April.
What are we up to now?
I think it was on Monday, it was 234, so we'd have to be up there to nearly at 250, if not there already.
Exciting.
I would suspect. So we're 16 cats short, that's not many on Monday.
We'll get there.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you. So there's only 1 week to go. If you want to take a part, if you're thinking of getting a cat, now's the time to do it. We're waiving the adoption fee on all adult cats, which are aged 6 months and older. And we're halving the adoption fee of all cats aged less than 6 months to $90.
This is at our North Melbourne and Campaspe shelters. To receive this offer, you'll need to successfully complete the home's pet license test, either at the shelter or online at petlicense.com.au. You can view all of the cats and kittens available for adoption at dogshome.com. Not ready to adopt? There are other ways you can help out felines, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later in today's show.
News item two is our big love for big dogs. Regardless of their shape and size, our dogs are filled with unconditional love. But some pooch lovers will argue that bigger dogs are better. The bigger the dog, the bigger the heart. Sure, they eat a little bit more food and they can take up, you know, some more of your bed, but big dogs with their sweet and gentle temperaments make great pets. We have a number of large, lovable dogs waiting for their new best friend to walk through the door, the shelter doors. Today we are featuring just three of our big-hearted dogs, but you can buddy up with many others that are waiting for a new home at the Lost Dogs Home.
First one we're going to showcase today is Paul. So Paul's one of my favourite dogs at the shelter right now. He's He is. He's beautiful. So Paul's a Mastiff Cross. He's a large and lovable dog, and he enjoys nothing more than lounging in the sunshine and long walks with his favourite people. He also enjoys positive reinforcement training and spending time with other dogs. During his time at the home, this two-year-old softie has been working on building his confidence and managing his separation anxiety with the behaviour team. Paul needs an owner who is committed to his ongoing training and socialisation. They'll also need to help this big-hearted dog to settle into his new home. However, with a little patience and care, Paul's new owners will be rewarded with a loyal and loving lifelong companion.
Oh, he sounds great. And I love his name, Paul.
It's a great name.
And our next dog is Molly. She's actually been with us quite some time. She's 6 years old, or 6.5 years old. We call her Soulful Molly because she's a big dog with an even bigger heart. She's a bloodhound cross, and she enjoys spending time with those closest to her, and that is frolicking in the sunshine with them or playing with her favourite plush toys. She's very friendly, and she's quite quiet, but she enjoys her training classes and will thrive with an owner committed to keeping her mentally and physically active. She'll also sit at home with other suitably matched dogs to keep her company. Molly does have moderate hip dysplasia, but this can be managed with a good quality diet and low impact exercise.
And finally, we have Jack. Handsome and charming, 5-year-old German shorthaired pointer Jack loves people and is looking for a family who's willing to make him a big part of it. Jack has had some surgery on an old rib injury, so he's a little bit wary of being handled. While his injury is healing on its own, Jack's new owner will need to watch out to make sure no one accidentally pats him over his sore area while it's healing. He is full of energy, however, and Jack will need an owner who is just as active as him to keep him physically and mentally satisfied. Regular exercise is a must, and this personality plus canine will benefit from some structured training to help keep him mentally active. Paul, Molly and Jack are all available for adoption at the Lost Dogs Home's North Melbourne shelter, and you can view their profiles along with other dogs available for adoption at dogshome.com.
When was the last time you were out on the water? The Argonauts is Melbourne's inclusive community rowing club. Join us for fun and competition in our men's and women's crews. We're looking for experienced and beginner rowers, coaches and coxswains. To find out more, visit melbourneargonauts.com. Joy 94.9 is proud to support this community message.
This week's Pet of the Week.
Now, from big dogs to, you know, more medium-sized dogs, we're our pet of the week this week is Tilly, and she's 6 years old. She's a Staffy Cross, and she's brindle and white. She's very, very cute. She's got a beautiful face. She's described as being sweet and gentle, and she's ready to embrace new life. She's very happy and confident young lady, which is quite typical of Staffy, and she just wishes to please you. Again, very much like Staffies. Like all our dogs, Tilly would benefit greatly from an adopter who has an active lifestyle and is looking for a companion who enjoys daily walks and runs. Obedience training is highly recommended for this young lady to remind her of her doggy manners and to strengthen her bond with her new family. It is essential that Tilly goes to a home with a roomy backyard and high secure fencing to keep her safe and sound, as well as having something to do so that she doesn't become too bored. She's a mature or middle-aged lady who loves the company of people and would love to go to a home where she's included in her new family's daily life. While Tilly doesn't mind the company of other dogs, she would very much enjoy going to a home where she can be a constant loyal companion for somebody. She probably enjoys being the only dog in the house. Her ID number, if you're interested in adopting Tilly, is 892248. If you want further information on how to adopt, you can look up Tilly on the Dogs Home's website, which is dogshome.com. But you can also contact our Compassby shelter. She's up in our Echuca shelter. Their number is 5480 3005, or you can visit in person at 520 Mackenzie Road, Echuca. And why not take a road trip up to Echuca one weekend to meet Tilly or many of the other dogs up there for adoption? And cats. Remember, cats are price. If you're looking to adopt from the Lost Dogs Home, we highly recommend you do you visit the website or give us a call before you pop in, just to make sure that the animal that you're interested in is still available at that time and isn't going through the adoption process with someone else.
This Monday, the 25th of April, is Anzac Day, when we will reflect and remember the Australians and New Zealanders who served and died in war. You might not know, but many different types of animals have also been involved in war. Coming up, you'll hear from Nigel Alsop, President of the Australian War Animal Memorial Organisation, and he'll talk a bit about these animals and the roles they have played.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9. Anzac Day is this Monday, the 25th of April, a time when Australians will remember those who have served and died at war and reflect on the sacrifices they have made for our nation. Conversation and stories of war are often centred on the human experience, but today we're going to take a closer look at the roles that animals have played in war and the impact they've had on them and us as humans. Let's flash back to April last year when Pets Aloud presenters Kevin and Oz caught up with Nigel Alsop, founder and president of the Australian War Animal Memorial Organisation, to learn more about the animals in war.
We're just interested in finding out a little bit about the animals that have headed off to war, particularly World War One. How many animals from Australia actually went to Gallipoli, and what type of animals were they, and what were the roles that they played over there?
Okay, first of all, initially, 136,000 horses left Australia before World War One, and actually none of them, they were dispatched originally to Gallipoli, but none of them were actually landed there. Australia used a lot of animals in Gallipoli. Obviously, we all know Simpson and his donkey, but like many of the animals that Australia used at Gallipoli itself, most of them were obtained in situ or supplied by other Commonwealth forces. Simpson himself is believed to have obtained his or one of his donkeys from the Indian Mountain Battery.
Right, so what happened to the ones that we sent over?
Our horses were returned. They initially, about 6,000 turned up to the island of Lemnos ready to be used, and the terrain was found to be such that light horsemen weren't the ideal. There were about half a dozen horses landed, and Anzacs used them as messengers up and down the beachfront. But the most common, those particular horses were then sent back to Egypt, where, strange enough, they were put into remount depots, one of them being commanded by the famous poet Banjo Patterson.
So what types of animals then did the diggers use in Gallipoli?
In Gallipoli, well, we've all heard of Simpson and his donkey, of course, and they used lots of donkeys. The predominant animal was a mule, and they, again, were used to shuttle up supplies to the front lines. And there were a few messenger pigeons that were used in cooperation with British forces. And as I said before, there were a few whalers there. Just a sprinkling used to run up and down the beaches along with the New Zealanders in the Anzac headquarters. Now, interestingly enough, there were a few also, you can see some photographs with the old Australian mascot there, which was appeared. And of course, let's not forget the other side as well. The Turkish army in particular relied on a lot of animal transportation, and the most common animal they used were oxen and camels, and in particular, just like Simpson, they used donkeys as well.
During your research, you mentioned that you came across a possible Simpson equivalent for the Turkish side. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. We're sort of looking at putting a war animal park in that location, hopefully next year. And when I was speaking to the Turkish ambassador, he showed me a wonderful picture of basically Simpson's equivalent. It was a Turkish soldier. Again, he had a donkey. He had a wounded Turkish soldier on it. And it's marvellous how, you know, in this conflict, there were two identical people from two different sides, but doing the same compassionate job and, of course, using animals that would have worked for either side. Obviously, the animals are pressed into it and they have no malice. And quite often Australians were famous for nicking the enemy's animals and reutilising them.
Now, in terms of, we see photographs of soldiers, particularly with dogs, and you can see that connection there come through the photos. What would you say the role that dogs had in terms of providing them emotional support?
Look, I think apart from the obvious jobs that the dogs do, and, you know, the military job, they have a tremendous morale and psychological effect on troops. I know, having used them overseas myself, they're one of the few things that you can reflect on your homeland. You know, most families, I'm sure you'll agree, have a pet dog in Australia, or the vast majority, and it gives you that sort of sense of home. They love you unconditionally. They know all the soldiers, even though a handler is assigned to a dog, and that one dog has one handler. They soon know who is in their pack, so to speak, and they go around sort of scabbing food off everybody and licking faces, just like a normal dog does. And it's a great morale boost, not just for the handler, but I think the whole platoon or the whole troop that the dog is associated with.
Well, there's one particular story I know that means a lot to you that involves a dog, and we would love to hear more about it.
Nigel, we just got a question in from a listener. We're hoping you can help us out, and I think you can. He's just asking, was it true that no horses could actually have been brought back to Australia during this time because of quarantine restrictions?
Yeah, look, of all the horses, in fact, it's true to all the animals. The first Australian war animal, didn't actually return to our shores until 1993 from Mogadishu in Somalia. All horses, except one called Sandy, which was the mount of Brigadier, or General Bridges, I beg your pardon, which he was killed in 1915, came back for his funeral. But indeed, she's correct. No horses officially returned to Australia.
Thank you so much for that question, Colin.
That was Nigel Alsop, founder and president of the Australian War Animal Memorial Organisation, talking about the involvement of animals in war. Coming up next, we'll hear more from Nigel about the roles animals have played in war, and he'll also tell us the story of renowned war dog Smokey.
Joy 94.9.
You're tuned into Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. With Anzac Day taking place this Monday, we wanted to take a closer look at the roles animals have played in war. In April last year, Pets Allowed presenters Kevin and Oz caught up with Nigel Alsop, founder and president of the Australian War Animal Memorial Organisation, to learn more about the animals used in war.
Just before, we were talking a bit about a story about a dog, I believe.
Sure, it's an interesting sort of, for me being a Queenslander too, we have a small little terrier, Silky Terrier, a 4-pound Silky Terrier, is probably one of the least known, but one of the perhaps the most famous and unrecognised war dogs that we have in Australia. She was a little terrier that was born in Queen Street in Brisbane, and she basically was picked up and sent by an Australian soldier to Kokoda, and she was a present for his fiancée. Things didn't work out, and it ended up being bartered and found alone and wet in a ditch, where a guy called Bill Wayne, an American soldier who was attached to General McCarthy's flight, picked it up. And so Smokey came back and forward to Australia many, many times. Wherever General McCarthy flew, this little mascot dog, ex-Australian, was always with Bill. And we didn't know in those days the great effects of what we now know as post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of people misdiagnosed it. It was called, you know, perhaps even shell shock or cowardice in some cases. She is the world's registered first post-traumatic stress syndrome dog. She was used by Bill at Brisbane Hospital to run up and down the wards between 43 and 45, helping the soldiers' morale. But perhaps another interesting story about her is Bill had her in the Philippines, on the island of Luzon, and a US Marine detachment platoon was heavily pinned down by Japanese snipers. They were all veterans, but you could see they were down in the dumps. Bill let the dog go, and Smokey trotted and skipped along the road where they were being pinned down, chasing a whole lot of butterflies that were in the area. It was just enough to break the concentration or the fear of the soldiers, and they were able to regain their courage and continue their mission. And a little shortly after that, Smokey was used again on the same island. Again, soldiers were being pinned down from taking a telephone wire across the runway, and thus far, four soldiers had been killed. It was a little culvert about 4 inches round and 70 metres long. So they tied this telephone cable around Smokey, this little 4-pound terrier, threw her down the hole, and she scrambled all by herself. Remember, she's an untrained little terrier.
Yep.
She scrambled the 70 metres underground in the dark and the cold, and imagine all the war going on above her, until she got to the phone line to the other side, where they connected it, and they were then able to seek communication by the Air Force, which strafed the enemy, and therefore no more soldiers were killed. And for that, she was awarded the British Bravery Award. Hmm. Unfortunately, here in Australia, I tried to get her mentioned as the in dispatches, so to speak, for the Purple Cross, but the RSPCA sadly denied her status.
In terms of where we've come over the years in terms of animal welfare, we know that there's been significant improvements and that possibly, even though it's an interesting story, would certainly not happen today. And yeah, we were interested in getting someone from the ADF on the program today to talk about what they currently do, but we'll have to doggy that for that for another program. What I do want to ask you, you have spent a lot of time looking into the history of animals in war. Why do you think it's important to remember and acknowledge these animals?
Yeah, I think it's very important. The first thing, we're never trying to belittle the deeds and sacrifices of our two-legged diggers, but I think it's important for people to know that our four-legged diggers also served too. Over 8 million animals were killed during World War One, and this being the centenary. And as your one caller recognised, that every animal that we sent overseas to aid our soldiers, none have were ever returned until recent times. And they don't have a voice of their own. And I think it's very important for us to put a monument or some form of recognition up for them to basically acknowledge their deeds and the ultimate sacrifices of so many. Bear in mind, they had no choice. They weren't volunteers, and they did what they did with no malice, and they rescued their very presence, either aided morale or rode soldiers into battle, took supplies to battle. You basically could not have fought a war in World War One without an animal. That's a fact.
That was Nigel Allsop, founder and president of Australian War Animal Memorial Organisation, talking about the involvement of animals in war. That's quite a remarkable interview. If you'd like to learn more about the organisation or do some further reading about animals in war, you can visit awamo.org.au. Coming up next, April is Adopt a Greyhound Month, so we've brought in a special guest to tell you all about these magnificent dogs and why they could make the perfect pet for you. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
At Joy 94.9, there are approximately 300 volunteers bringing you over 75 shows, 24 hours per day, 7 days a week. That's a lot of facts and figures to take in, but here's one more number for you to think about. 1-300-569-949. That's the number to call to talk to the Joy sales team about becoming a Joy sponsor. One phone call can get your business on air and online, reaching thousands of Joy listeners at a price you can afford. 1-300-JOY-949. That's 1-300-569-949.
You're tuned in to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. Greyhounds are a loving and often misunderstood breed. They may be well known for their ability to run, but they'd much prefer to take on the roles of family companion and couch potato. Greyhounds often retire from their racing careers quite young, and some never even run a race in their life. As a result, there are lots of loving greyhounds in need of a second chance and a new home. April is Adopt a Greyhound Month, the perfect opportunity to showcase why these friendly, docile pooches make such wonderful pets.
We are joined in the studio by a special guest who knows all about these beautiful creatures and has experienced firsthand their love. We'd like to welcome back to Pets Allowed our fellow Joystar and greyhound lover, Hamish. Welcome back, Hamish.
Hey guys, how are you going?
Hey Hamish, good.
Good to have you. Now, you're incredibly passionate about greyhounds. Where did this passion all stem from?
I guess like most people, I kind of stumbled across it. We were looking for a dog to adopt, and we went through the usual process of finding out which breed was suitable for us, and we came across the greyhound through a friend and looked at all the attributes of what makes a greyhound a great pet, and they just ticked every box for us, you know. And then after we adopted, we started learning about, you know, the industry and how many dogs there are and so forth, and that brought us into the fostering and helping rescue dogs as well.
That sounds great.
Hamish, can you tell us about your involvement in greyhound rescue and fostering?
Well, I'm part of an organisation called Friends of the Hound, which is based in Queensland and New South Wales, but there are amazing independent rescue groups throughout the whole of Australia that do the same thing. So we get calls from trainers or some from vet clinics who might have greyhounds brought into them, and they bring in greyhounds who are no longer needed by the industry, so they call it wastage. And they call a group like ours and they surrender the dog, and then we have a process of bringing them in, customizing them to home life, because they're actually never been inside a home, don't know wooden floorboards, don't know what a mirror is, don't know what a vacuum cleaner is.
Yeah.
So we go through a process of bringing them into the home, making them suitable for pets and measuring their temperament to match them to a good home for them.
Now, you're obviously the proud owner of a very gorgeous greyhound, and that's Bob. Can you tell us a bit about him and what makes him so special?
Yeah, Bob is amazing. He's about 8.5 now, and he's probably not a really typical greyhound. Like, yeah. He's very independent in a lot of ways. Like, he'll follow us from room to room, but he's still pretty independent like that.
Yeah.
But greyhounds traditionally are more you know, they want cuddles, they want to be with you, they follow you everywhere, they want to sit next to you on the couch and so forth. But so Bob's a little bit different like that. But, you know, in terms of being a pet, he's very quiet. He very rarely barks. If he barks, we know something's unusually happened or he wants, you know, a walk really desperately. You know, he sleeps maybe 20 hours a day, like literally all day. And, you know, except for maybe a 20-minute walk. So they're very low-maintenance dogs and Bob's, you know, typical of that.
Mm. I know you've just touched on this, considering talking about how much he sleeps and things. But, why do you think greyhounds make such good pets?
For the reasons I mentioned before, and also they're just incredibly gentle dogs. Like, they're great around kids. A lot are actually cat friendly and chicken friendly, even. So, you know, as part of the process, we test them to see if they're good around, you know, our other animals. And, you know, if you have cats, you can still get a greyhound. They're not totally ruled out. In fact, we live next door to people that have bunnies, so, you know,
that's good.
So they can live alongside other animals. I think the main message is that they're really low maintenance, they're really easygoing, and they're just adorable.
I like the 20 hours a day sleeping. That sounds good compared to mine that want to go for a walk every minute of the day.
So if
anyone's sort of listening to this and thinking about getting a greyhound, what should they do? What would you advise the next steps to be?
Well, obviously, if you're not sure if you're wanting to adopt yet, fostering is a really great way of testing the water, and probably 90% of people will fail and actually go through and adopt them. But as I said before, there are loads of independent organisations that rehome greyhounds in Australia, and there's a website called adoptagreyhound.com.au, or if you just search for Adopt a Greyhound Month, that'll come up top in the results there, and it has links to all of the groups throughout Australia that rehome greyhounds, so you'll find all the resources there and links to and to all the organisations.
Great. I advise everyone to go and take a look. And Hamish, thank you so much for joining us today to chat about greyhounds and why they make such lovely companions.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And if you'd like to learn more about Friends of the Hound and their work in giving greyhounds a second chance, you can visit their website at friendsofthehound.org.au. If a greyhound sounds like the perfect dog for you, please check in with animal shelters and rescue groups, as there are many greyhounds out there in need of a loving home. It's important to be aware that under the Domestic Animals Act 1994, greyhounds do need to wear a muzzle and be leashed when out in public, unless they undergo a green collar assessment through the Greyhound Adoption Program. You can learn more about the green collar assessment process by visiting gap.grv.org.au.
Over the past month, lots of cats and kittens from the Lost Dogs Home have purred their way into new homes during our Adopt-a-thon. With only 1 week to go, we still need your help to reach our goal of 250 adoptions by April 30, not long now. Coming up, you'll hear how you can make a difference to cats and kittens in need and learn about some of our feline adoption candidates.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9. Already we've almost reached the end of April, which means the Lost Dogs Home's 2016 Adopt-a-thon is also about to end. Throughout the month, we've been working hard to achieve our goals of 250 cats and kittens adopted by April 30. To help our fabulous felines find new homes, we've waived the adoption fee of adult cats aged 6 months and over, and have also halved the adoption fee of kittens aged less than 6 months. All cats and kittens adopted from the home are health-checked, de-sexed, microchipped, vaccinated and wormed, which costs more than $300 for each cat.
To receive this offer, you will need to successfully complete the home's pet license test. You can do this online at petlicense.com.au, or you can come into the shelter and do it there as well. Adopt-a-thon is running at our North Melbourne and Campaspe shelters, and there's only 1 week to go. There are a few ways you can get involved and make a difference to cats and kittens in need.
Well, the first and probably most obvious is to adopt. If you're ready for the lifetime commitment of pet ownership, consider opening your home and heart to one of our adoptable cats or kittens. You'll be giving them the greatest gift of all, a loving forever home. Cats are well suited to so many types of families and homes. Work full time? No big house? No backyard? No worries. Many cats are happy to spend their days lounging around and playing inside. They're perfectly suited to an apartment or unit setting, and it's not a problem if you work and aren't home all the time. As long as your feline receives the care they need and has some quality time with you every day, this will help keep them happy and healthy. Our North Melbourne and Campaspe shelters are bursting at the seams with felines in need of new homes. With so many personality types, there is sure to be a cat or kitten who is perfect for you. All of our adoptable felines have profiles online at dogshome.com, but stay tuned because in a moment we're going to introduce you to some of them.
The other thing you can do is foster, and it's a good way if you're not really sure that you're ready to care for a long-term pet. Fostering a cat or a kitten could be a really great alternative to really make sure that you're ready. By becoming a foster carer, you'll be opening your home and your heart to a cat or kitten in temporary need and making a real difference to their lives and giving them an opportunity to have, you know, some time out of the shelter environment, which can be really good for them recovering from surgery or putting on weight. They may be too young for adoption also, and sometimes they just need that extra TLC before they're ready for adoption. As well as helping the individual animal, you'll be also helping create much needed space in our shelter. Foster care can last anywhere from 2 days to 4 weeks. All expenses are covered by the home and you'll be contacted within 2 weeks of applying. For more information, you can visit dogshome.com and go to our foster page.
And finally, if you're not in a position to adopt or to foster, you can always advocate. So if you're not able to help in other ways, you can still simply help by spreading the word, by telling your family and friends about the Adopt-a-thon. You can even choose one or more of our adoption candidates and share their profile on your social media pages.
From adventurous go-getters to the chilled-out couch potatoes. That's right, that's a song. Our adoptable cats and kittens are full of personality and they're ready to purr their way into your home and your heart. And now we're going to introduce you to some of these amazing cats. The first one is the lovely Petal. Petal by name and Petal by nature. She is a one-year-old domestic medium hair, so she's got sort of in-between hair length. She's tortoiseshell and she's white and she's very gorgeous. She's a lovely cat seeking a home where she can come out of her shell. She might be a bit shy to begin with and unsure when she gets into a new home, but she has a playful nature which will flourish once she settles in. Petal loves being doted on and will return the favour with lots of purrs and affection and headbutts, I'm sure.
Next up is Cassidy. Cassidy is 1 year and 10 months, so he's quite a young cat. He's a domestic short hair cross and he's black and white. Unlike Petal, he's located at our Camp Aspie shelter up north. Cassidy was very shy when we first met him. With some TLC, he's come out of his shell, but he still is a little bit overwhelmed with new surroundings and people. Once he settles in and gets to know you, Cassidy's affectionate nature will definitely come out and shine.
And our next cat is Denise. Denise, look, nice blondie song. She's 3 years old, so she's a little bit older. She's at our North Melbourne shelter and she's grey and white. She's what we call a domestic short hair. She's got lovely markings. She also can be a little bit shy on the first meet, but she'll soon warm up to you. She loves pats and scratches. She's best suited to a home probably without young kids, as she can be overwhelmed by sudden and loud movement. She will need to be an indoor cat to protect her light features. She's got a pink nose, which will be affected by the sun.
And finally, we have Cindy. So Cindy is from Camp Aspie. So she's up at our Camp Aspie shelter. She's 1 year and 4 months, and she's a domestic short.
So if you would like to learn more about Petal, Cassidy, Denise or Cindy, you can find their profiles at dogshome.com, along with profiles of all the other adoptable pets that we have in looking for a new home. So if you're looking to adopt from the Lost Dogs Home, we highly recommend you do visit the website first or give us a call before you pop in, just to make sure that the animal that you're interested in is still available at the time and isn't already going through or gone through the adoption process with another family.
Remember, the Adopt-a-thon runs until April the 30th, so there will be no fee to adopt an adult cat aged 6 months or over from the Lost Dogs Home, and you will pay only half the fee to adopt a kitten less than 6 months of age. We've almost reached the end of yet another show, but before we go, we're going to fill you in on the pet-friendly and animal-themed events coming up in your area. That's up next in Dog Dates. You're tuned into Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
This is Dog Dates, your pet's community calendar.
Our first date today is the Dog Lovers Show, which is on Friday, the April 29th to May the 1st, so next weekend. That's at the Royal Exhibition Buildings at 9 Nicholson Street, Carlton. The Dog Lovers Show is about celebrating our canine companions with lots of entertainment, education and information on offer. It's a fun day out for any dog lover or dog owner, with more than 200 exhibits there'll be plenty to see and do. You can buy tickets online or at the event, but purchasing online is recommended to avoid disappointment. Please note you can't take your pet along to this event. For more information and to buy tickets, visit dogloversshow.com.au.
And the second date is the Greyhound Adoption Program Adoption Day. So that's on Sunday, May the 1st from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's next weekend. It's at the Meadows Track, 18 Northcote Boulevard, Broadmeadows. So the Greyhound Adoption Program is holding this Adoptions Day where you'll be able to meet some greyhounds in need of loving new homes. As Hamish explained earlier in our interview, greyhounds really do make some wonderful family companions. So if you are looking to adopt a dog, head along to GAP's Adoption Day and you could potentially meet your perfect match. You do need to register to go along to this event. So for any extra information on how to register and learn more about the event, you can visit gap.grv.org.au.
And that's the end of the show. It's been great talking to you today. Just a reminder, our pet of the week is Tilly. She's 6 years old. She's a Staffy Cross. She's brindle and white. Yes, she's at our North Melbourne shelter. Her ID number is 892248.
Coming up next, we've got Aaron bringing you the latest in indie and alternative hits with Sass.
And if you missed the show today, don't worry. You can go to our podcast via our profile page at joy.org.au/petsallowed.
Thanks very much for listening again, and don't forget to walk your dog
and pat your cat.
This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.